In the name of God, the merciful, the compassionate. And from him do we seek help. The first letter. In his name, be he glorified. And there is nothing but it glorifies him with praise. This consists of the brief answers to four questions. First question. Is Keter alive? If he is alive, why do some leading religious scholars not accept it? The answer. He is alive, but there are five levels of life. He is at the second. It is because of this that some religious scholars have been doubtful about it. The first level of life is that of our life, which is very restricted. The second level of life is that of Keter and Ilias, may God grant them peace, which is free to an extent. That is to say, they can be present in numerous places at the same time. They are not permanently restricted by the requirements of humanity, like we are. They can eat and drink like us, when they want to. But are not compelled to like we are. Saints who attained to direct vision and knowledge of reality have reported virtually unanimously their adventures with Keter, and these elucidate and prove this level of life. One of the degrees of sainthood, even, is called the degree of Keter. A saint who reaches it receives instruction from Keter and meets with him. But it sometimes happens that such a person is mistakenly thought to be Keter himself. The third level of life is that of Idris and Jesus, may God grant them peace, which is removed from the requirements of humanity, and is an angelic level of life and acquires a luminous fineness. Quite simply, Idris and Jesus are present in the heavens with their earthly bodies, which have the subtlety of bodies from the world of similitudes and the luminosit y of astral bodies. There is a hadith that states that at the end of time, Jesus, upon whom be peace, will come and will act in accordance with the Sharia of Muhammad. Peace and blessing be upon him. This indicates that at the end times the religion of Christianity will be purified and divest itself of superstition in the face of the current of unbelief and atheism born of naturalist philosophy, and will be transformed into Islam. At that point, on the one hand, the collective personality of Christianity will kill the fearsome collective personality of irreligion with the sword of heavenly revelation, and on the other, representing the collective personality of Christianity, Jesus, upon whom be peace, will kill the Dajjal, who represents the collective personality of irreligion, that is, he will kill atheistic thought. The fourth level of life is that of the martyrs. According to the Quran, the martyrs are at a level of life higher than that of the other dead in their graves. Since they sacrificed their worldly lives in the way of truth, in his perfect munificence Almighty God bestows on them in the intermediate realm a life resembling earthly life, but without its sorrows and hardships. They do not know themselves to be dead and suppose only that they have gone to a better world. Enjoying themselves in perfect happiness, they do not suffer the pains of separation that accompany death. For sure the spirits of the dead are immortal, but they know they are dead. The happiness and pleasure they experience in the intermediate world are not equal to the martyr's happiness. Like if two men in their dreams enter a beautiful palace resembling paradise. One knows that he is dreaming and the pleasure and enjoyment he receives are deficient. He thinks, if I wake up, all this enjoyment will disappear. While the other man is unaware that he is dreaming, and he experiences true pleasure and delight. Thus, the martyrs partake of life in the intermediate realm differently to the other dead. It has been definitely established by innumerable incidents and narrations that they manifest life in the way described above and suppose themselves to be alive. Indeed, their level of life has been illuminated and proved on numerous occasions by such occurrences as Hamza, may God be pleased with him, the Lord of the Martyrs, protecting those who have recourse to him, and his performing and making performed tasks in this world. I myself, even, had a nephew and student called Ubid. He was killed at my side and in my place and became a martyr. Then, when I was being held as a prisoner of war at a place 3 months' distance away, I entered his grave in a true dream, which was a sort of dwelling place under the earth, although I did not know where he was buried. I saw him living the martyr's level of life. He evidently thought that I was dead and said that he had grieved over me greatly. He thought he was alive, but having retreated before the Russian invasion, had made himself a good home under the ground. Thus, owing to such indications, my unimportant dream convinced me about the above-mentioned truth as certainly as having witnessed it. The fifth level of life is that of the spirits of the dead in their graves. Yes, death is a change of residence, the liberation of the spirit, a discharge from duties. It is not annihilation, non-existence, and a going to nothingness. Many evidences illuminate and prove this level of life, such as the innumerable occasions the spirits of saints have assumed forms and appeared to those who unveil the realities, and the other dead have communicated with us while awake or sleeping and have told us of things that are conformable with reality. In fact, the Twent Y9th word, which is about the immortality of Mont's spirit, demonstrates this level of life with incontrovertible proofs. Second question. Who creates death and life that he may try you? Which of you is the best in conduct? Quran 67:2. Verses like this in the All-Wise Quran, the criterion of truth and falsehood, make it understood that death is created like life, it too is a bounty. But on the face of it, death is dissolution, non-existence, decay, the extinction of life, the annihilator of pleasures, so how can it be created and a bounty? The answer. As was stated at the end of the answer to the first question, death is a discharge from the duties of life, it is a rest, a change of residence, a transformation of existence, it is an invitation to eternal life, a beginning, the introduction to an immortal life. Just as life comes into the world through an act of creation and is appointed and determined, so departure from the world is created and determined, and is planned wisely and purposively. The ways plants die, plant life being the simplest level of life, show their death to be a more orderly work of art than life. For although the death of fruits, seeds, and grains appears to occur through their decay and dissolution, it is in fact a sort of kneading that comprises exceedingly well-ordered chemical reactions and a balanced combining of elements and wise formation of particles. Their unseen, orderly and wise deaths appear through the life of the new shoots. That is to say, the death of the seed is the onset of the shoot's life. Indeed, since its death is like life itself, it is created and regular the same as life is. Moreover, the death of living fruits or animals in the human stomach is the beginning of their rising to the level of human life. It may therefore be said that being thus, their death is more orderly and created than is their life. If the death of plant life, the lowest level of life, is created, wise, and ordered in that way, the death that befalls human life, the highest level of life, must be the same. Similarly, as a seed sown in the ground becomes a tree in the world of the air, so a man who is laid in the earth will surely produce the shoots of an everlasting life in the intermediate realm. Now for the aspects of death that are bounties, we shall point out four of them. The first. Death is a great bounty because it means one is freed from the duties and obligations of life, which become burdensome. It is also a door through which one passes in order to join and be united with one's friends, 99 out of 100 of whom are already in the intermediate realm. The second. It is to be released from the narrow, irksome, turbulent prison of this world, and to receive an expansive, joyful, trouble-free immortal life, and to enter the sphere of the eternally beloved one's mercy. The third. There are numerous factors like old age which make life arduous and show death to be a far superior bounty. For example, if together with your very elderly parents who cause you much distress you beheld before you your grandfather's grandfathers in all their pitiful state, you would understand what a calamity life is, and what a bounty, death. Another example. One can imagine how difficult life is in the harsh conditions of winter for the beautiful flying insects, the lovers of the beautiful flowers, and what a mercy death is for them. The fourth. Just as sleep is a comfort, a mercy, a rest, particularly for those afflicted by disaster and the wounded and the sick, so too is death, the elder brother of sleep, a pure bounty and mercy for the disaster struck and those who suffer tribulations that drive them to suicide. However, as is proved decisively in many of the words, for the people of misguidance, death is pure torment the same as life, and pure affliction, but that is outside the discussion here.